In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Those are the first five verses of Genesis chapter 1. So, right at the start of the Bible, we have darkness, and then God created light. Well, God needs to get his priorities in order. He hasn't even made the sea, the land, the sky, or any creatures yet, but according to this account, the first thing he does is create light, which shows just how vital that is in a world where being able to see things is so important. Well, I guess they hadn't invented Braille yet. He doesn't give us perpetual daylight, though. In the creation story, evening and morning are mentioned, important markers for each new day. And a little later, there is more about day and night, starting at verse 14. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark the sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. So light and darkness have always been important. And personally, I think darkness gets a bit of a bad press. We need it in order to sleep properly so that we stay healthy. Those of us who live with migraines often find that light hurts our eyes and darkness is very soothing. Darkness also allows people to see things that they may not see during the daylight. I can see candlelight and other light sources in a darkened room where I wouldn't be able to outside on a sunny day. I can't see much else, but you know. And what about the wise men who saw the star that led them to Jesus? They'd never have noticed that if it wasn't dark enough to see the moon and the stars. When talking to people about the topic of today's service, many said they didn't know much about Candlemas. Perhaps, though, you will have deduced that candles are involved. So let's think about candles. Now it's your turn. What do we use candles for? Yes. Birthdays. What else?
Memorials.
Yes. Very important.
Baptisms.
Yeah. You can relax now. I'll tell you the ones I've got written down. I've written birthdays, church, Advent wreath, carol services, prayers, romantic meals, power cuts, fragrances, processions, which we kind of had because you said lanterns. And somebody at another church said stopping the pipes freezing. I had never heard of it, but I thought, well, you know, I'll write it down and somebody might know more than I do. So why do we light candles for romantic meals or special family celebrations? Because it changes the atmosphere, focusing on that central source of light in the middle of the table, rather than being dazzled by bright artificial light. Candles on cakes make birthdays extra special. I'm pretty rubbish at blowing out all the candles in one go, so I haven't made a birthday wish in years, but from my research, it seems that the candle's smoke symbolises prayers or wishes going up to heaven. So maybe the birthday wish is a prayer, whether the wisher knows it or not. In church, candles symbolise Christ. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Christ, our constant companion who is always there beside us, lighting our way. Perhaps he's like those trick candles that relight themselves after they've been blown out. It's probably just as well we don't use the trick candles in church. I think health and safety could be an issue there. There are other types of light in the darkness: bonfires, campfires, fireworks, and sparklers. Focusing on such sources of light at night time really emphasises the light source and changes the atmosphere. Have you ever sat round a campfire singing songs together, perhaps toasting marshmallows or enjoying a hot drink? There's something quite special about evenings like that, which makes them memorable for many years to come. In the past, I've attended Easter vigil services that started outside the church or cathedral. The dawn services were most exciting, a bit like that feeling of being a child on Christmas morning. We all went into the garden in the dark so that the priest could light a fire, and the Easter candle was lit from that fire. We went back into the church, each carrying a candle, and while the priest sang and we responded, all our candles were lit from the Easter candle, gradually making the church brighter and brighter. Then there were various readings and psalms before we all went to the front of the church to acclaim Christ's resurrection. When the church lights were all switched on, the organ was played, and we all rang bells really loudly, then continued the service, climaxing with the Easter communion. Before that noisy acclamation, though, during the readings and psalms, each holding our lighted candles, there was a reverent and prayerful atmosphere, and I believe it was mainly because of the candles lighting the darkness. It changed the way people read and the way the psalms were sung. Our focus was different. There were no distractions. We were there for worship and nothing else. Many years ago, I took part in Tenebrae services on Good Friday evening, which were the other way round. After each reading from the story of the crucifixion, a candle was extinguished, and we sung a hymn or meditative chant from Tese, until by the end, the church was in total darkness. Just as well they had someone to sing the final solo who could read in the dark. I wonder who that could have been. Again, there was a reverent and prayerful atmosphere I've not experienced at other Good Friday services. So, while darkness is often associated with sin and wickedness, perhaps because people can get away with things without being seen. Yeah, doesn't work with me, just saying. We sometimes need darkness in order to focus on the lights that are important. Night and day are a wonderful thing because they give us a new start over and over again. I don't know about you, but I certainly need those regular opportunities for rest and renewal. The night gives our bodies the signal that it's time to rest. Ever fallen asleep during a film screening or presentation when the lights were low? That's biology. It's dark, so your body decides to sleep. But what's all this got to do with Candlemas and today's readings? Candlemas is a Christian festival celebrated on the 2nd of February each year. It's far less well known than Christmas or Easter. In fact, there was very little about it on the Methodist website, apart from one page which kept cropping up again and again. Traditionally, this feast was known as the purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the presentation of Christ, our Lord, at the temple, or the Holy Encounter. As we heard in our Gospel reading, Mary and Joseph went with the baby Jesus to the temple. A woman had to wait 40 days after giving birth to a son to be purified before she was allowed to resume worshipping there. And they presented Jesus, their firstborn son, to be consecrated to the Lord. Then we hear about their meeting with Simeon and Anna. The first part of Simeon's words have been used on a daily basis as part of evensong and compline or night prayer services by Christians throughout the centuries and have been set to music by numerous composers. They are special because Simeon recognised that he had seen the Lord's salvation, that Jesus was the Messiah who came to be a light to show God's will in this morning's reading, or in other translations, to lighten the Gentiles. Gentiles are those who aren't Jewish, so not just the chosen race, but a light for everyone in all the nations. That includes you. It includes me. The next part, where Simeon talks about Jesus being chosen by God for the destruction and salvation of many in Israel, and tells Mary that sorrow, like a sharp sword, will break her heart, is less well known because it isn't part of those daily prayers. Then Anna, a devout worshipper, spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. I wish some of her words had been recorded. So we have two people recognizing Jesus as the one who has come to redeem everyone in Jerusalem and beyond, but sandwiched in between them is Simeon's warning, a sobering moment on such a joyous occasion. This is why Candlemas can be seen as a time to look back at Christmas and forward to the reflectiveness of Lent, the grief of Good Friday, and the hope of the resurrection at Easter. At the Easter vigil services I mentioned earlier, we sang about the light of Christ and the candles, which symbolised the light, were lit. Traditionally, at Candlemas, people brought their candles to church to be blessed, and there would be candle-lit processions. It was the last day of ancient Christmas, so if you didn't put all your decorations away until recently, you're in good company with Christians down the centuries. Taking down the decorations by the 6th of January is relatively modern. Nowadays, it's the other way round, with Christmas starting earlier and earlier and suddenly finishing after December the 25th. Not in church, of course. The 2nd of February, the official date of Candlemas, is halfway between the winter solstice, the shortest day, and the spring equinox, where the days and nights are the same length. Far less depressing to finish Christmas when the days are getting longer. The birds are starting to sing and there's more sunshine. I'm all for that. Although it's 2 days late, today we celebrate those two devout people, Simeon and Anna, seeing Jesus and acknowledging who he was. And we celebrate Christ, the light of the world, who kindles a flame in all our hearts, setting them on fire so we can share that light with everyone we meet in acts of care and kindness. Many small lights can significantly brighten a dark room. Many small acts can significantly improve the lives of others. After this sermon, during the next hymn, each one of you will be given an electric candle to switch on for the rest of the service. I love real candles, but I wanted this service to be remembered for the right reasons and not because someone set their hair on fire. Possibly me. As the candles are electric, we can't light them from one large candle symbolising the light of Christ, but please remember that image from the Easter services I described, powerfully showing how the light of Christ can be passed from Christ to us and then on to others. Praying with a candle is a meditative experience. If you're in a darkened room, looking at its flame, perhaps it will help you to be more focused on what you are praying about. Maybe it will serve as a reminder that Christ is the light of the world, however dark things may seem, a visible symbol of hope. So please, take your light home to use as a prayer candle that won't set the house on fire. Or switch it on for a while if you find its light comforting, perhaps while thinking about someone who is ill or going through a tough time, or a situation in your community or another part of the world, or something in your own life that you'd like to hold before God. I'm going to end this sermon by reading Simeon's prayer that has been recited daily by Christians down the centuries. This is the version from the Book of Common Prayer, followed by the Gloria, as it would be during evensong, evening prayer or compline, which is also known as night prayer. It's usually known as the Nunc Dimittis, which means now let depart in Latin. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, to be a light to lighten the Gentiles, and to be the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.